People have driven by this church, seeing the advertisement. We have received calls from those who have passed by, wondering when will the election be and what type of election are you all having at the Greenville Avenue Church of Christ. But this is election day. To be honest about it, every day is election day. For our candidate is always campaigning. Amen. Every day, every hour, he's asking for your vote. So we're very elated to have one who is going to expose us to the greatest man that has ever lived on the face of the earth. He's not just an ordinary man. Who is this man? Don't you want to know? Well, you're going to find out this week, because we got a man who can tell you who he is. Now, let me tell you about this man, who's going to tell you about this man. Brother George Williams, great gospel preacher. We were honored on last year to have him to do our campaign, so we are no strangers to this great man than he is. And he certainly does not come to us without knowledge of this church and this campaign. So we are thankful that he accepted our invitation again. He is from Austin, Texas, and he is the minister of the Eastside Church of Christ there in Austin, Texas, has been so for many, many years, has preached the gospel all over our brotherhood. He has been part of lectureships. He's a debater of the gospel. He is one who is thoroughly and truly prepared in every way to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are fortunate to have two of his children worship here with us, and I want you to know they are getting involved. You challenged them last year. They took your challenge. Amen. And they are actively involved, and we're just thankful for him. And so I don't want to take up any more of his time. Welcome visitors, welcome everybody. Let's stand on our feet. It's election day. All right. And let's sing that song. Whatever song you have, I know it's a good one, because you're a good song leader. You can make a bad song sound good. Amen. Amen. So come on, sing whatever you have on your heart. And next boss will be Brother Williams.
Amen. Let's sing I Love to Praise.
Love you, my brother. Appreciate
I love to praise him. I love to praise him. I love to praise. Oh, I love to praise him. I love to praise. Well, I love to praise him. Well, I love to praise him. Holy name, I love to praise him. I love to praise. Oh, I love to praise him. Well, I love to praise him. Oh, I love to praise his holy name. Oh, he's my rock. He's my rock, my sword and shield, and he's a wheel.
He's a wheel
in the middle of the wheel, and I know he'll never, never. Well, he's just such a joy, yes, that I have found. Let's sing hallelujah, hallelujah. Sing hallelujah,
hallelujah,
hallelujah. Oh, I love
to praise.
Well, I sing hallelujah,
hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, I love praise his name. You know that I love. Well, you know that I love. Lord, you know that I love. Well, you know that I love. Oh, you know that I love to praise his holy name.
Amen. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We're thankful unto our great God first and foremost for blessing us to have come to be in this place with you again on this Lord's Day morning. Of course, I have been with you before, so I don't feel like I'm a stranger among you. And it's certainly good to be back with you again on this year. And to be with my good friend, my brother in Christ, and my favorite preacher, Brother Shelton Gibbs III. He's a dynamic preacher. Love to hear him preach. I just can't sit on the front row when he comes to preach because he hits me. I don't know if he's still doing that, but I'm going to have to bring him back to Austin and see what's going on. Brother Gibbs, I've known him for many years, even back to Southwestern, and he is a dynamic preacher and just a great man, humble man of God. And you're blessed to have Brother Gibbs as your preacher. And say amen if you can. Amen. Everybody ought to say amen on that one. Amen. And I appreciate his wife and his family. We've known them as well, and so I thank God for the opportunity to know her and to fellowship with her, and she's a wonderful lady. Brother Gibbs is blessed, and you're blessed with two wonderful people to work with you and the family, the Gibbs family. My wife was not able to come with me on this year as she was on last year, and so she wanted me to tell you all. She sent her love, and prayerfully, you will treat me right while I'm here. Amen. But I'm looking forward to seeing my daughter. She said she'd be in the second service. And my son Jason is out of town in Lubbock, Texas. So I just want you to know, if you see me with a lady this week, it's my daughter. As I know folk will be watching, Brother Gibbs. Thought he said his wife was at home. All right. I'm going to make sure she stands up in the service so y'all can see her. But we got plenty of members here. Some of them come to the east side, so they know me and they know her. And so I'm just glad to see you. Have your Bibles. Please hold them up. Repeat after me. We are the Church of Christ. We are people of the book. Amen. Because of the time limitations, let us hastily move into our subject this morning. If you would, look at 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18, and I'm reading from the New King James Translation, so if they can put that up on the screen, I would greatly appreciate that. 1 Kings chapter 18, beginning at verse number 20 and verse number 21. The Bible says, "So Ahab sent for all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together on Mount Carmel. And Elijah came to all the people and said, 'How long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. If Baal, follow him.' But the people answered him not a word." Your subject for this campaign is my subject for this morning. And that is simply, who's your next commander-in-chief? The theme of your campaign is ingenious, and it is so applicable. Who is your next commander-in-chief? And I'd like to commend Brother Gibbs and all of those who perhaps worked with him to come up with such a brilliant idea. Yes, indeed, that's brilliant. to put out such a campaign theme because it captures the people's attention. I think that all of us can admit that we have been captivated and fixated on this unusual and unorthodox election year. I don't know about you, but I have never in my life seen anything like this election year. And to be honest, I pray to God I will never see anything like it ever again. And if there were ever a time in history, if there were ever a time in our lifetime, that we need to come together as the people of God and pray, that time is now. God's people need to come together because I believe that we are the only redeeming fact that's going to keep this world from being destroyed as the salt of the earth. And so we need to be praying because we believe in the power of prayer. Say amen if you can. We are indeed living in perilous times. We're living in times where dignity is a thing of the past. Decency is whatever you want it to be. Morals are however you choose to define them. Ethics have been reduced to let your conscience be your guide. Integrity is something that you find in the dictionary. Truth is relative because there are no moral absolutes. Respect for God is vanishing and a vanishing quality from the human soul. Respect for the word of God is declining on every front, even in the Church of Christ. Respect for the sacred is a rare commodity. Respect for the president and the presidency is no more. Respect for self is an endangered species. Respect for others is uncommon and almost non-existing. Respect for authority is a joke. And respect for human life is tragically disappearing from the landscape. People will take your life now if your music is playing too loud. People will take your life now if you look at them wrong. And you know, Brother Gibbs, I recall when my children were young and we were kind of just coming into this age where the children, the young men would walk around with their pants down, beneath their waistline and on down their legs with all of their backside showing and the loud music that just makes your car shake. And so I told my children, now whenever you see that, I know it's strange to you, but don't stare at them, because folk get an attitude if you stare at them. And so one day I pulled into the parking lot of the grocery store. And my kids were about 5, 6, 7 years old. And this guy pulled in next to me, and I don't know what the devil looks like. But if there were a picture of the devil, this guy surely could have been him. He wasn't ominous looking person. No shirt on, pants hanging down his backside, and music shaking my car. And he had gray eyes, dark, got out of the car and just started looking. And I looked over at my kids and they were looking at him. I said, "Boys, what's wrong with y'all? Stop looking at that guy. Because daddy was not ready to die right then. And I know if they tried to do something to my child, I was going to have to do something." And so, Brother Gibbs, it was time to go. You know, it's time to move on to another store. But we're living in that kind of age now that people, you cannot even look at them without them getting an attitude and wanting to do something against you. That's the world that we're living in now. We're indeed living in perilous times. Paul talked about these perilous times in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Paul says, "But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power." Does that sound like this world that we're living in now? Does that not sound like America? Does that not sound like the political arena and the climate and the rhetoric that we hear from our politicians and our citizens? We are living in perilous times. And church, listen to me. America is in a crisis. And our world is in a mess. And now I want you to understand that no matter what the world may think, no matter what America may think, building walls won't fix our problems. Building bigger and more powerful bombs won't fix our problems. More jobs won't fix our problem. Free health care won't fix our problem. Our world is in a mess. And there is only one man, there's only one person that can fix the mess that we are in, and that person is not Hillary, and that person is not Trump. The person that can fix the mess that we're in is Jesus Christ. Have I a witness in the house? There's power in the name of Jesus. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. There is power in the name of Jesus. At the name of Jesus, demons in hell tremble. There's power in the name of Jesus. At the name of Jesus, the wind and the waves listen and obey. There's power in the name of Jesus. At the name of Jesus, all of the host in heaven bow in humble adoration. There's power in the name of Jesus. At the name of Jesus, the lamed walk. There's power in the name of Jesus. At the name of Jesus, the dumb talk. There's power in the name of Jesus. At the name of Jesus, the dumb talked. At the sign and the name of Jesus, the blind saw. At the name of Jesus, the sick were healed. At the name of Jesus, bread and fish were multiplied. At the name of Jesus, the dead got up. At the name of Jesus, and in the name of Jesus, this nation and this world can be helped. Because there's power in the name of Jesus. How many of y'all believe that? Amen. Say amen if you believe it. Amen. And church, it's time for us to elect a new commander-in-chief. And he's not a Democrat. I know some of them think he's Republican. He's not libertarian. He's not a party, a member of the Green Party. He's God. And what our country needs now, what our world needs now, and what you need now on a personal level is God in your life. Some people believe that America's woes will be solved when November comes and the right candidate is put into the office. But I want you to understand that America's problems cannot be solved by the president of these United States of America. The problem that our country has and the problem that our world has is one that is deeper than an election that can be brought about by the United States of America. The problem that we have is that our country and the world has forsaken God. At any time you take God out of the country, any time you take God out of the culture, any time you take God out of the curriculum, any time you take God out of the conscience, then the world is in trouble. That's what's wrong with America. God has been taken out of culture. He's been taken out of the curriculum. He's been taken out of the conscience. And when you do that, the world is headed for a disaster. I want you to see the consequences of a godless world. Look at Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, beginning at verse number 18. Put it up on the screen. I can't look at the one in the back. It's much too small. Amen. Maybe there was a time I could read that, Brother Gills, but not now. All right, so y'all just work with me. All right? For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Now I want you to understand what man has done. Man suppresses the truth. It's not that he doesn't recognize that truth exists, but when it comes to the truth about God, man does, and I'm talking about unrighteous men, they do everything within their power to make sure that the truth about God is never revealed. And so they do everything they can. They exert every ounce of energy they can to suppress the knowledge of God. You got to take God out of the school. You got to take God out of the Pledge of Allegiance. You got to take God out of every aspect of life. And for you to talk about God is an infringement upon their rights. What about our rights? But that's the world we're living in. Suppress God. We don't want people to know about God. And then you wonder why people are getting shot down in the streets. You wonder why policemen are being shot, because you are taking God out of the conscience. Look at what the Bible says. They suppress the truth in unrighteousness. And the reason why they want to do it is because they're unrighteous and they want to live an unrighteous life. And I don't want God encroaching upon me. Keep going. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. Let me tell you something. God has put in every man and every woman what I call, and what scholars call, a moral ought. In every man, there is something that says there is a difference between right and wrong. And even the heathen who does not know God and who does not want to acknowledge God has a principle within him that says there are certain things that are right and there are certain things that are wrong. And every man, whether he wants to acknowledge it or not, understands that there is something bigger than him in this world. Watch what the Bible says. Watch this. Keep going. For God has shown it to them. How did God show the world that he is? For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. You know what God said? God said, I revealed myself to man not only through my creation, I revealed myself first in his conscience because of a moral ought that I put in him, but also I revealed myself to man through what I created. When God said, let there be light, and there was light, when God created this world and put it in order, and the sun rises in the east and sets in the west every day.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
The Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. The Bible is telling us that God has put the sun and the moon and the stars in the heaven, and they are his preachers every day. Every night, the stars and the sun and the moon and every day is saying there is a God, because there is order, and wherever there is order, there must of necessity be someone who put it in order. There's design all around us. As designed, the earth is so situated in our solar system that it's not too close to the sun that we burn to a crisp. It's not too far away from the sun that it freezes into a block of ice. It spins at the exact speed so that we can keep our balance and equilibrium. That's order and design. And there's a law that says where there is order and where there is design, there must of necessity be a designer, and the designer is always greater than that which he has designed. God is saying, look around you. Open your eyes. There is a God. He is alive. And that's what theologians call natural revelation. But see, we have to have specific revelation to know who this God is. And so God says, man is without excuse, because all he has to do is just look up and look around him. And there is something that says there is a God. Now, because you have a moral ought in you, and because I have given you evidence of my existence, it is natural that you should seek out specific revelation as to who this God is that created it all. Are y'all with me? Watch this. Keep going. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Now I want you to see the digression. I want you to see where we are now and how we got here. You see, when you don't acknowledge God, when you fail to acknowledge that he is real and that he exists, then your thinking becomes foolish. Amen. You start thinking foolish things, because when you acknowledge God and you seek God, then God changes your thinking, Brother Gibbs. Now watch this. So your thinking becomes futile. Your thoughts become darkened. And you fall deeper and deeper into the abyss of darkness because you fail to acknowledge God. Watch this. Keep going. Professing to be wise, they became fools. Now I'm just calling them what God calls them. Excuse me, but you got a whole bunch of intelligent fools in the world. Smart folk that in God's sight are fools. Amen. Because they won't acknowledge him. You say, you shouldn't call. I'm telling you what God called them. All right. The fool that saith in his heart, there is no God. Amen. And so when a man fails to acknowledge God, his thoughts become futile. His mind becomes darkened. And all of that leads to behavior that is befitting of what God describes as a fool. Amen. Amen. Watch this. Keep going. And change the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Look at the digression. Man starts right here, failing to acknowledge God. His mind becomes futile. He begins to walk in darkness, becomes foolish in his behavior and his thinking. Then, because of the desire to worship, because God put that in man, man, instead of acknowledging God, starts making his own gods. That's right. That's right. And so he makes a God in his image. First the man makes a God that looks like a man. And then he says, well, that's not good enough. I'm going to make a God that looks like birds. And then he says, I'm going to make a God that looks like an animal walking on four legs. And then he makes God that looks like snakes and bugs that are creeping. You see the digression from man to birds to four-footed beasts all the way down to creeping things. Because the farther you get away from God, the lower you sink. That's why America is in the mess that it's in. It has forsaken God. Watch this. Next verse. Therefore God gave them up to uncleanness. You see what happens now. When you give up on God. When you let God go. And God will let you reap the consequences of your foolishness. And here is what it is. You see, when you walk away from God, it will always show up in your moral behavior.
That's right.
You let go of restraints. Mm-hmm. Look at what it says. They dishonor God, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worship and serve the creature rather than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Watch this. Keep going quickly. The Bible says, for this reason God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Keep going quickly. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one another, for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. Does that sound like America? Come on, church.
Amen.
And we're getting soft on that in the church.
Amen.
Preacher gets up and preach about it. They all frowned up and don't say nothing, Brother William. Don't go down that path. That's not politically correct. It may not be politically correct, but it's biblically correct.
All right.
And the church still ought to say amen when something is said from God's word about a lifestyle that God does not approve of. We should not hate the sinner, but we got to hate the sin. And watch what the Bible says. Watch this now. Keep going. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. Watch this now. Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers. That's gossipers. Now here is the thing you need to understand. Some folk will jump up and down and say, amen, preach on, brother. Tell them about their ungodly ways, but you're in that list somewhere. Amen. Sexually immoral. That's not just talking about homosexuality. That's talking about adulterers. That's talking about fornicators. Amen. Liars are in there. Folk that are greedy for money that won't give right to the Lord, even though they've been blessed by God. You in there? Amen. Full of strife and envy, evil-mindedness, gossiping about folk. Same list with homosexuality. And when folks start talking to me and tell me, well, you must be a homophobic. I said, no, I'm a xenophobic. I just preach against all sin. I preach against adultery. I preach against fornication. So I guess if I preach against lying, I'm a liarphobic and I'm a adulterphobic and a fornophobic. I just preach against all sin. Because if it's in the Bible and God is against it, then I as his man must be against it also.
Amen.
Watch what the Bible says. Watch this now. Backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. Keep going. Undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. Does that sound like America? Does that sound like our world? That's the problem with the world. The world has walked away from God. Look at verse 32. Who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. You may think this morning that all we need as a nation and all you need as an individual citizen
is the right man or woman in the White House. But what we really need and what you really need is the right man in your house. And his name is Jesus. You may think that all you need is a better life. To have a better life is a better job, a better house, a better car, a better husband, a better wife, a better education. But what you really need to have is a better life. And that life can only be found in God and with having a better relationship with him. Look at John chapter 10 and verse number 10. John 10 and verse 10, the Bible says, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have what, church? Come on, church, say it with me. That they may have what?
Life.
Can I get y'all to say that? That they may have what?
Life.
He's talking about live folk having life. How will live folk have life? An interesting the word. And then he says that they might have life and that they might have it what?
More
abundantly. And that word life is Zoe, not bios. Bios is physical existence. Bios is breathing. Bios is just having air in your lungs and blood in your body and your heart pumping and beating. That's bios. But Zoe is something different from bios. It's a higher quality of life. Listen to me. If you want the abundant life, it can only be found in Christ Jesus. What is abundant life? Abundant life is life to its fullest. The Greek word for abundant means beyond, over, and above, to exceed. In other words, Jesus is saying that I'm going to give you life that exceeds the ordinary. I'm going to give you life that is beyond the norm. I'm going to give you life that can be categorized as an extraordinary life. The abundant life is living life with meaning. It's living life with direction. It's living life with purpose. It's knowing how to live and not just how to make a living. It's life that makes you whole on the inside. No matter what you possess or don't possess on the outside. It's inner peace in the midst of turmoil. It's calmness in the midst of life storms. Christ came to give us life that is superior to just existing in this world. And I know this morning that I'm speaking to someone who's just existing. Some of you right now are just existing. You're in a place of just drifting through life without real meaning, without direction, without purpose. You don't know where you're going. You don't know where you're going, and you're just stumbling aimlessly through life. And you say things that sound like this. Why am I here? Why do I feel so empty inside? I feel like a failure. I feel like life is passing me by. I should be further along in life, but nothing is working for me. I feel like life has been unkind to me. Life has been unfair to me. My marriage is not working. It's falling apart. I've never been this miserable and unhappy in life. And then the single person is saying, I can't get married. There's no one for me. Why is it that I'm always the one that's the bridesmaid instead of the bride? Why am I always the bride, the best man instead of the groom? I just can't get ahead in life no matter how hard I try. And you're going through life just existing. Unhappy. And empty on the inside. You're caught in that vicious cycle that you just can't seem to get out of. You're unhappy with your dead-end job, unhappy with yourself, unhappy with your choices, unhappy with life, and you feel helpless and hopeless and empty because nothing seems to satisfy you. Church, that's where some people are in life, and that's where some of you are right now. You may be saying, well, Brother Williams, I'm a Christian. Why do I feel this way? Because it takes more than just being a member of the church. You got to have a relationship with God. And so many times when people find themselves in that place of feeling empty on the inside and nothing is going right on the outside, and there's no peace and tranquility and contentment in their lives, they seek to find it in things. So they go buy more stuff, only to be in more debt. They make more money, only to be in a higher tax bracket, paying more taxes. They travel the world, only to be disappointed and exhausted after the trip. Drink more wine, only to end up with a hangover. Try the drug scene, only to go deeper into darkness. Get a prescription from the doctor, only to discover that there's no man-made prescription that can solve your deepest problem. Jesus is the only answer. He's the only one that can provide the abundant life. Solomon said it like this, and I love the book of Ecclesiastes, because what Solomon does is tell us, don't waste your time, young man, seeking for happiness in this world. Satisfaction, completeness, and wholeness in this world. One of the expressions that you'll find in the book of Ecclesiastes is the expression under the sun. Under the sun. 30 plus times in the book of Ecclesiastes, under the sun. Under the sun. And Solomon said, what I did, I tried everything. I was looking for the meaning to life. So I had 1,000 women, 700 wives, 300 concubines. And some men think that if I can just have as many women as I want, I'll be happy. You won't. Just treat the one that you got right, and she'll be all you can handle. Amen, sisters? Amen. Brothers, you're not going to find it in another woman. You may be fooling yourself. Oh, the grass always looks greener on the other side, but it may be because they are fertilizing the grass and you're not. And when you get on the other side, Brother Gibbs, you still got to cut the grass. So quit looking over the fence and start looking in your own fence. It's not going to be found in another man. It's not going to be found in another woman. And Solomon said, I tried women, I tried wine, I tried wisdom, and I tried wealth. And at the end of the day, it's all vanity. Vain, empty. And then he says, I finally came to the conclusion that what life is really all about is fearing God and keeping his commandments. For this, he says, is the whole duty of man, or this is what makes man whole. I see my time is almost out. But this is something. I haven't done this in a long time, these two sermons. Oh, have mercy. I'm used to preaching an hour every Sunday. You know, it's just, listen. If you want a life that's full of meaning, direction, and purpose, if you want a life that's more than just existing, if you want a life that's full of grace for living, full of mercy for your mistakes and misery, full of peace in the time of peril, full of contentment in the time of crisis, full of satisfaction with the blessings of God, and full of assurance that in this life you are never alone, and in the life to come you'll have a heavenly home, that life can only be found in Jesus Christ. And unlike the politicians who lie repeatedly, you know, they say, you want to know, if you want to know what a politician is lying, just watch his mouth whenever it moves. Amen. That's all I'm going to say about it. Leave it right there. All right. But unlike the politicians who lie and give you all of these grandiose promises that they never deliver on and cannot deliver on, when Jesus makes a promise, the abundant life that he promises you, you can rest assured that he will keep his promise. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 9 through 20. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 9 through 20. I know 19 through 20, rather. 19 through 20. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 19 through 20. Listen to what Paul says. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 19 through 20. Paul says, "For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by me, Silvanus, and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him was yes." Watch this. "For all the promises of God in him are yes. And in him, amen, to the glory of God through us." In other words, Paul said, every promise that God has ever made is solidified in Christ. God is saying that every promise I made, I fulfilled in Christ Jesus. So every time you see a promise that God made, just say amen to that promise, because Christ is the proof that it is real. Amen. Ain't that good news? Hallelujah. Praise his name. And I want you to know, because I don't have time to get to 1 Kings, I'll say this. If you want to hear 1 Kings, come back to the second service. But I am going to close here, since I'm supposed to close at 9:20. And so I'm going to do that. But I want you to see this as I close. I want you to understand that God is not going to force you to make a choice. You've got to make a choice. God has already chosen you. All right. And now it's up to you to choose him. And you may say, "Well, Brother Williams, when did God choose me?" I want you to know, before God ever spoke the world into existence, God chose you. Look at Ephesians 1, 3 through 6 as I close out. And here's what I want you to see. This morning, I don't know where you are. I don't know what you're dealing with. I have no idea. But I do know human nature, that someone in here is seeking. Someone in here feels like, "I really don't have anything to live for." Someone in here feels that you are not loved. My husband doesn't love me. My wife doesn't love me. My children don't love me. My parents don't love me. Folk don't love me in the church. I'm just an unloved person. I want you to understand, that's the biggest lie in the world. The most important being in all of the world loves you. And that's God. Look at what the Bible says in Ephesians 1 and verse number 3. Ephesians 1, verse number 3. As soon as you get it, put it on the screen. If you don't get it, then I'm going to have to have Brother Gibbs to read it. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." Let me tell you something. I want you to understand that every blessing you need that is of a spiritual nature can be found only in Christ. You're not going to find it in the nightclubs. You're not going to find it in the streets of Dallas. You're not going to find it at the bottom of a bottle. You're not going to find it in a drugstore. The blessings that God offers are in Christ. And here is what you need to understand, that when you truly get a relationship with God, Brother Gibbs, you are in a place that the Bible calls the heavenly places in Christ. In other words, the closest you will get to heaven on this side of heaven is being in Christ. And so God gives us a little slice of heaven, a little taste of heaven in the church. Yeah, amen. Watch this. "Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." When did God choose you? Before he ever said, "Let there be light," he had you in mind. What is your name? What is your name? What is your name, sister? Oh, Verdine, you were in his mind before he ever created the world. Timothy, is that you? Daniels? No? What's your name?
David.
David, God had you in mind before he ever said, "Let there be light." Every one of us. He had us in mind. God said, I've already chosen you. I chose you to be in Christ. Now, that's not predetermined that you're going to be saved against your will. It is simply saying that God already made the decision that everyone in the world who accepts my son Jesus Christ and is obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ and comes into Christ is a part of my elect.
Amen. Amen.
God did not predetermine who. He predetermined that those who come into Christ would be a part of his elect. But he made provisions for you to come in.
Amen.
All right? Watch this. Having predestinated us to adoption as sons of Jesus Christ to himself, sons by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. I love that. God did what he did and didn't ask anybody for their opinion. See, here's what I love about God. God made a decision that he was going to save us. Watch this now. At every time he adds a child, he does not come to get our approval. See, just like when mama and daddy had children, they didn't come and ask the other children, is it all right for us to have one?
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. And when they had them, they didn't come and say, do you want to accept this as your brother? Do you want to accept this one as your sister? No, it doesn't make any difference who you are. Doesn't make any difference how you look. It does not make any difference what color your skin is, how tall or skinny or fat or whatever you are. God says, I chose you and you have been adopted into my family, the church of Christ.
Amen. Amen.
You want to know how to become a Christian, a child of God, a member of the church of Christ? You got to make a decision this morning. Who's going to be your next commander-in-chief? You might say, well, I'm not going to vote. And a lot of y'all are saying, I ain't going to vote. I'm just going to sit this one out. Don't do that. Go put somebody's name in there. If you got to write Jesus' name in there, go write his name in. Do something. Amen. Don't stay home. Go, just go to the ballot box and write somebody's name if you can't pull the lever for the two that's up there. But I tell you what, you're going to pull the lever this morning. You got to say, no, I'm neutral. See, not to choose is to choose. There's no such thing as neutrality. If you say, I'm not going to choose Christ and I'm not going to choose the devil, you've already chosen the devil.
Amen.
Because if you're not with Christ, you're with him. Now, what you need to do this morning is obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. And how do you do that? Watch this. The Bible is still plain. In Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, when the gospel was preached for the first time as a fact, Peter told them that Christ came, he suffered, he bled, he died, he was buried, and he rose again and ascended back to heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, ruling and reigning right now. The Bible says when they heard this, they were pricked. They believed what they heard. They heard the gospel. They believed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, crucified, buried, and resurrected. And at that time, they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said to them, repent and be baptized. He didn't say, bow your heads right where you are, say a sinner's prayer. He didn't say, come down to the altar, kneel, and let me lay hands on you. He didn't say, raise your hand and ask Jesus to come into your heart. He didn't say any of that. That's what you hear on the televisions, the radios. But what Peter said is what we're telling you today in the churches of Christ.
Amen.
And that is, repent. Turn from your sin. And commit your life to Jesus Christ. Confess with your mouth that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And be baptized in water. Not to declare that you have been saved, but in order that your sins might be washed away. And then when you do that, Acts 2:47, praising God and having favor with all of the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those that were being saved. When you believe the gospel, repent of your sins, confess the name of Jesus Christ, and you are baptized in water by immersion for the remission of your sins, you are a child of God, a member of the church of Christ, a member of the family of God. You now have chosen your commander in chief. And his name is Jesus. You'll be a citizen in his kingdom, under his rule, and under his dominion. This morning, if that's what you want, we bid you to come as we together stand and sing.
To Jesus for the cleansing power, you washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you fully trusting in his grace? This hour you washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed? Oh, in the blood. Born in the soul, cleansing blood of the Lamb.
Is there anyone who wants to come this morning?
Spotless are they white.
Is there anyone who wants to come to Jesus?
Are you washed?
Jesus said, come unto me.
All you